Good morning and welcome back to the Mike Blog Bible Podcast. It is Tuesday morning, and this morning we are going to get back into Genesis chapter 25. And this is actually kind of an appropriate chapter because it's a new week, and this chapter is a sort of a gear-switching chapter. So, without any further ado, Genesis chapter 25, New American Standard Bible, verse 1. Now Abraham took another wife whose name was Keturah, and she bore him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan became the father of Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, and Letushim, and Leumim. The sons of Midian were Ephah, and Epher, and Hanok, and Abida, and Edaah, and all these were the sons of Keturah. So Abraham takes another wife. He doesn't, you know, spend his entire life mourning for the loss of Sarah, but he does take a wife. He has other sons, and God blesses these sons as well. And we're going to see Sheba and Midian and Dedan definitely show up later in the Bible as nations that have been blessed by the Lord. Now Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, but to the sons of his concubines Abraham gave gifts while he was still living, and sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the land of the east. So Abraham's remembering in his head the mistake that he made with Ishmael. Not that he doesn't love Ishmael, not that he doesn't treat Ishmael like his son, but the promise that he was given by God was to be fulfilled through Isaac. And God made this perfectly clear on a number of occasions. So Abraham's thinking at this point is, I love my other children. However, this place where they're living, this land of Canaan, this is promised to Isaac, and they can be blessed, and they can follow God if they choose to become responsible, but they need to do it somewhere else, because this land is going to go to my son Isaac. So he sends them away. Now these are all the years of Abraham's life that he lived, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last, and died in a ripe old age, an old man, and satisfied with life, and he was gathered to his people. Then his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, facing Mamre, in the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth, where Abraham buried. There Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. Now this is interesting because, you know, earlier in their lives, these two brothers had not gotten along. We read on a number of occasions that Ishmael would taunt mock Isaac. And Sarah was terribly angry about that and actually got Hagar sent away. And Abraham was really broken up by that decision until God told him to just go ahead and do it because he would take care of them. But here we see they get reconciled, at least for the moment, at least enough to bury their father and be peaceful with one another. Okay, now verse 12. Now these are the records of the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's maid, bore to Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, in the order of their birth. Nebaioth, the firstborn of Ishmael, and Kedar, and Abdil, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Massa, Hadad, and Tema, and Jetur, Naphish, and Kedima. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their villages and by their camps, 12 princes according to their tribes. So the Lord had promised to bless Ishmael when Ishmael was removed from Abraham's family, and he absolutely did. We know that Ishmael later became the father of the Arab nations, and he's had 12 sons, so he would have been seen as a very blessed man in his own life. They settled from Havilah to Shur, which is east of Egypt as one goes toward Assyria. He settled in defiance of all his relatives. So this would have been like the modern day areas of Jordan and Iraq and Arabia, Saudi Arabia. Now these are the records of the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Paddan Aram. the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. Lots of being specific that this is Aramean. Anyway, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren, just like Sarah was. That's kind of interesting. And the Lord answered him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it is so, then why am I this way?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And she's experiencing one of those, "God, what is going on? What are you doing? Why am I experiencing this kinds of thing?" She's having one of those moments. And I think the great thing about God is he is not the sort of God who's up in heaven going, "Don't talk to me. I can't bother with you people right now." Because we see in verse 23, the Lord answered her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So there's a method to the madness. There's a reason behind what's going on with her life, and the Lord is perfectly willing to explain that to her in his time. Okay, verse 24. "When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came forth, red, all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau, which means hairy. Afterward his brother came forth, with his hand, holding on to Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob." Now Jacob means heel catcher, or supplanter, or something like that. And finishing that verse, "And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them." Okay, so two sons, an older and a younger, one all red and hairy, the other one a heel catcher and a supplanter. Okay, 27. "When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob." So apparently, Jacob is a bit of a mama's boy, and Esau is very much a man's man. And here we see the first seeds of dysfunction in Isaac's family. They've split the kids between themselves, and Isaac is pouring all of his caring and loving into Esau, and Rebekah's doing the same thing with Jacob. "When Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished," very hungry. I can relate to that. "And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished.' Therefore his name was called Edom," and Edom means red. "But Jacob said, 'First, sell me your birthright.'" Now, what is it that Jacob is asking for here? Jacob is asking for the rights that Esau has as the firstborn. You know, the right to be preeminent among his brothers, the right to be the leader of his family after the death of his father, the right to the inheritance and all of that. Now, another key thing here is that he's also asking for the right to be the spiritual leader of the family. Because when Isaac died, the child with the birthright would be the leader in all things, and not just, you know, where they lived and what they did, but also how they worshipped and which direction that family went. So Jacob wants this, and that's what he's asking Esau to give him. Esau said, "Behold, I'm about to die, so what use then is the birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "First swear to me." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Okay, so this is a little bit roundabout, but what you have here is an explanation of the problem with Jacob and an explanation of the problem with Esau. We already knew that their family was kind of split, and that, you know, cannot help but to be dysfunctional. When the family is split, it's going to get worse, and it's going to manifest itself in other ways. But the problem that we have with Esau is that he does not care about spiritual things. He doesn't care about family birthright. He doesn't care about being the leader of his family. None of that stuff matters to him. All he wants to do is what he wants to do. He likes being out in the field. He likes hunting. He likes doing the things that he likes to do. And all of this other stuff simply doesn't matter to him. So he despises the right that he has, and he's willing to give it up at the drop of a hat for a bowl of soup. I'm sure there was other food he could have found. Now, the problem with Jacob is that Jacob is conniving and jealous. Now, Jacob wants all of these things that his brother has, and he just can't get over it. He can't get over the fact that he's not the older brother. He wants these things. He sees that his older brother despises these things, and he wants to take that place for himself. Now, most younger brothers simply just get over it, because you can't change history. You can't change who comes out first. Sorry, you had your chance. You were twins, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. Yeah, you're going to have to deal with it. That's how most kids get over that. But Jacob, I keep screwing up Isaac and Jacob. I'm sorry about that. But Jacob, he decides to hatch a plan to take it away. So he says, well, all right, if you're not using it and if you don't care, I'll take it and it's going to be mine. So he comes up with this idea, and we're going to see, actually, that's not all, excuse me, that's not all that Jacob has his eyes on. He actually wants more from Esau, and he's going to do what he needs to do to get it, and even if it requires, you know, some deception. So both of these men are living up to the names that they were given at birth. Esau is rough and tumble and cares about nothing but himself, and Jacob is a supplanter and a trickster and one who catches people and takes advantage. And that is where we are at the end of today's chapter. I think the next chapter, let me look at it. The next chapter is kind of long, so we aren't going to go into that. Anyway, that is where I will sign off today, the end of chapter 25 in Genesis. If you have any questions or comments or anything like that, you can leave them on my Facebook page. You might have noticed, if you are on Facebook, that there is a new page that will be the home of news and announcements and things for this show. And you can also leave comments on my blog page at mikeblogblog.com. And if you're also, I'm sorry, if you're accessing this podcast from iTunes, I think you can also leave, you know, comments and ratings and things like that there. So there's three ways that you can interact this show, and hopefully one way or another I'll figure out what you all want to say. Leave comments and questions and things like that. Let's carry on this discussion. Let's have a discussion off the air and in text somewhere so I can see what you all think. I say all as if I have an audience. Anyway. I'm going to go ahead and sign off here. This has been the Mike Blog Bible Reading Podcast. I have been Mike, and I will see you all later.